This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Good afternoon, family and friends, and thank you for joining me, Renette Meiberg, on my program called Rise. This afternoon, we have a really special guest this afternoon, and I think she's going to be so encouraging because, you know, we often separate our business lives with our own lives and our spiritual lives and our personal lives. We just fragment it all. But she's going to tell us the exceptional value of merging all three of these together. And welcome Tris Lechemaat. She's going to be with us this afternoon, and she has started a consulting agency called ArtNet Consultancy. And I love what you call it, you know, what the purpose is. It's your title says purpose, people, and quality. And is that not what we strive for as businessmen and women? So all business leaders, you know, this is for everybody, actually. You know, if you're in a supervisory position or any form of leading. Mm-hmm. So Tris, just give me a little bit of a background of yourself, a little bit. And we'll go afterwards and hear why you actually started this consultancy, but just a little bit of personal information from you.
With pleasure, Renette. It's a joy to be here and to meet the audience on the other side of the microphone and share a little bit about our stories. We all have stories. Yes. And I certainly, growing up, had no idea of spiritual purpose, spiritual destiny, although I grew up going to church faithfully, praying before and after a meal, praying when getting up and praying when going to bed. But there was a lot of religiosity and a lot of work performance. And I grew up in the Netherlands, came to South Africa when I was 14. But being one of seven children, we all learned to work from when we were very little. So each one of us, we were economically viable by age 12. And we knew how to work, but that didn't mean that we really knew how to problem solve or how to do business God's way. So yes, it's been a journey of really finding the way and following the leading of the Holy Spirit, many times swimming upstream from where the rest of the people around you seem to be going. Mm. And for me, I started in marketing, and although I enjoyed it, I found I was very much interested in the foundation of the business. Why did they start the business? What do they do here? Is the solution that my company is bringing actually the right solution? And looking back, I can now see why that was important to me, even as a young person in the work world, because now that's a core concept that we work with. Why are you in the business? What brought you here? What's your passion? What's your view of the future? What are you sensing God is leading you to actually do during your lifetime? So,
fabulous. Fabulous. We are going to continue with this amazing concept because I really think it's of vital importance to us business owners and business leaders. So we're going to join Tris straight after this music break, and enjoy. Thank you for staying with us. I hope you enjoyed that track. But we have really got a very special guest in the studio with us this afternoon. And her name is Tris Lechemaat from ArtNet Consultancy Agency. And I'm just wanting to really come into this. I love your people's, your logo is about assisting Christians in transforming society. And that's what the business marketplace actually does, because we spend most of our time in the marketplace, each and every individual. But as business owners and leaders, we have such an opportunity to navigate this journey into taking good stewardship of every area of our lives. So what made you decide to design and formulate this network?
Very good question, Renette. Transforming society, I think each one of us, even if we don't have language for it, it's the big dream, because it's God's image in us wanting to make a difference, wanting to impact people. And yet there's very little taught on how to understand our precise fit in the kingdom of God. Why are we here? What's different from the reason I'm here, from you being here? And so for me, it was a real hard discovery journey. Thankfully, we have the Holy Spirit as born-again Christians that lead us, that cause us to be interested in what does it mean that we are called for a purpose? What does called mean? So, you know, it's said of Jesus in the book of Revelation that he was slain before the foundation of the world. So his calling was that he would give his life. It wasn't the only thing that he came to do, but that would be the end of his calling. And so for me, I've always been interested in the underdog, the person that is not noticed, the person that you can see is hiding behind a book or struggling. And I found myself working regularly, establishing new things, training other people to do what I did, and then looking around and saying, what's the next thing I can do? And my career path made no sense whatsoever. But looking back on it, I can see now that all the experience that I've had as a business analyst, as a quality consultant, as a project manager, was across various industries. The financial industry, in the medical industry, the building and the service industry. And now there is this broad base of understanding how businesses operate there, the different operational models. And then also you start to see what are entities doing for their employees and for the employees' families, because that's where transformation of society begins. So as kingdom leaders, as children of the living God who want to make a difference, we need to see that the transformation of society happens in-house first. So it Correct. Happens in me as a leader, and then in the way I lead my people, in the way I introduce them to the God, my God, the God that I serve. In Genesis 18, it talks about Eliezer, who was the head employee for Abraham, and he prayed to the God of his employer. So Abraham there has, as his staff know, and he had 318 trained staff in his team.
That's correct.
So that's in-house transformation. And those employees, their families lived with them. So as kingdom leaders, business owners, our work family is more than the people on our payroll. It includes their families. So, you know, in the Old Testament, we had particular people that functioned as priests and the prophets, and they were the ones that heard God. But as born-again Christians, we are the royal priesthood, are we not? And as employers, our employees is our church, quote unquote. That's the flock that's been given to us. We have their ears. We can influence them and introduce them to our God, not by force, but by sharing our lives. Jesus said to the disciples, when he first saw them, he just said, come follow me. He didn't sit them down and say, you better do this, you better do that, you better believe in X, Y, Z. He said, just come and do life with me. And as they did life together, and as they watched him, they learned about his relationship with his Father and the kingdom. Those were the two topics that he focused on every time. He came to introduce the kingdom, the constitution of the kingdom, which is very different from the way the world looks at things. And he started to explain that beyond simple laws like you shall not commit adultery, he said, listen, it has to do with how you look at someone. So the principles behind it. So this is how, as a business leader and owner, you start to transform within by your own conduct, by the values that you put out there, and how you live those values. Now, when you have a crisis, let's say there's an issue on the production line, do your people know what your first go-to is? Do you say, folks, we've got a major issue, I need some time out. I need to go and pray. I need to get people together. Do you want to join us in prayer? It's an invitation. I have a friend. About 10 years ago, he told me the story of he was in the wine industry, and the wine was becoming very vinegary. Hundreds of thousands of liters, a real, real problem. And he decided, led by the Holy Spirit, to put his hands on the tank and pray for a miracle. Sure. And it became very fine wine.
Mm-hmm.
You see, now our employees need to know our inner workings. And so inwardly, my close work community becomes transformed.
Mm.
And they in turn will tell the stories to their families. And so we see that people start to say, hey, this God of my employer, I want to know this God.
Mm-hmm.
And then the employer has the ear. He can introduce programs to introduce this God that he worships, our God Almighty, to the employees. And, you know, it can be presented as a business topic. There are three role players. These are their functions. These are their claims. This is the proof and benefits that have been historically recorded. And this is what they suggest you do with the information. Mm-hmm. What do you want to do with that information? Do you see, many times attention is paid to the evangelization component.
Yes.
But that is not enough, because it is in discipleship that transformation is seen. People need help. They need to understand, how do I renew my mind? How does that work? How do I even know that what I'm thinking is not aligned with the spirit way of thinking? So there's a lot of training and helping and guiding that needs to be available.
Mm-hmm.
And the capacity isn't always there.
Mm-hmm.
So that is something that can then be outsourced, and that's part of what ArcNet as a consultancy does. We can help with those things, and it can be a good thing for an employer to put a little bit of distance between himself and all of those components,
mm-hmm.
Because you still need to get the production and keep the production going.
Yes,
but
yes.
You do also need to model that you truly worship the Lord God Almighty and how you do that.
Fantastic. And, you know, for me, just what I love about the whole concept is that every part of us actually has to be stewarded. Our spiritual,
yes.
Our personal, and the business. It has to be in, you know, which is our birthright, is that, you know, all mm-hmm. of these in
yes.
line with the mm-hmm. word. So, you know, as you go along with, you know, how do you introduce this into for a business owner or a business leader to really buy into this concept and understand it? Because by now, you know, once we're already in the business, we already are
yes.
got things formulated mm-hmm. our way. And meantime, there is a God's way.
Yes. Very good. Let's first unpack what is spiritual stewardship, because stewardship means that I am responsible for managing certain things and utilizing them and those resources that God has provided for us. So spiritually, each one of us, every person, we are responsible for stewarding the gifts that God has given to
yes.
us. So we all get a measure of faith. We all have a number of spiritual gifts that we are given, a number of talents. We have abilities that we can develop skills with. But all of these things are for the benefit of other people, not for my self-enrichment and the advantage of others. So there is a reward on how I steward what has been entrusted to me. If we read the parable of the talents, we see, you know, things are issued, certain number of talents according to each person's ability, and we need to discern that about our staff. What abilities do they have? And then grant them opportunity to develop and to prove themselves. But we see in the parable that the owner came back to do a performance appraisal, and a reward was given. So performance appraisals is not something that's modern day, and there is an eternal award. There's a reward attached now.
Yes.
And there is a reward to come.
And that is for the employee and the employer.
Yes, absolutely. And then as well, my spiritual stewardship is, how do I exercise that? How do I steward those gifts and talents? First of all, I need to use the intellect that I've been given. Not everything is that spiritual that you don't use your brain. We need to use our intellect, accept the spiritual responsibility for what has been entrusted to us, and then recognize that how we do life has an effect, spiritually a good effect, or it has a negative effect. Take responsibility for that and care for the people and the resources entrusted to me. So yeah, that's part of, we need to do that. And of course, as a business, we're not a charity. You need to make a legitimate and a reasonable profit and spread the gospel as you go, whether you do that in the good customer service that you give, the heart that people experience in your business, do they experience your care and your interest for them? Or have we become like many other facets and spheres of society where it's, well, you know, it's broken, too bad. It's not working the way you hoped. Where there's just, it's more interested in the money rather than the care for the people.
It's a cutthroat business.
Yeah. And then in terms of spiritual foundations, we need to understand what is in our spiritual foundations, because there may be fault lines there, like you have potholes in a road or cracks in a road. And so spiritually we can have problems there. We need to also discern, this business that I'm busy with or this product that I'm putting out, is this an Isaac product or business? Is it God's design, or was I just helping God along, and have we birthed an Ishmael? And is that rescuable?
Amen. That is very powerful and profound. So as I hear, is that the spiritual side is, again, as vital as the actual production of your business and the way it is run. It's a entity that needs to be included when you're in the business, in the market field. We are going to take a music break right now, and we're going to enjoy something with together, and we're going to enjoy the next phase of our conversation with Dries. Good afternoon. Thank you for staying with us this afternoon. We have such an excellent guest in the studio with us today. I think it is something that even while you're sitting behind your desk and wondering, is this not something that we could possibly incorporate in our business? Because she offers, Tris Lichemot offers such an incredible and unique designed consultancy. It is really incredible to see how you put the spiritual, personal, and business, entities into one aspect for the success of one's business. And it's so important. And we're going to revisit on what you finished with before, was about the spiritual side and then our personal side and our business side of caring for ourselves and our employees and our business all in one go.
Yes. I'm loving the questions, Renette. We are made up of so many different facets. When we think business, oftentimes we think a career, performance, certain number of hours that I'm at work, which is true, or busy with work, but there's more to us. We fulfill different roles. We can be a spouse, a parent, we're a child, an uncle, we're a member of the community, we serve on different boards. In all of those things that we have to do and the commitments that we have, it is critically important that we make time for our relationship with God. We come from Him. We need to know why we are here. Like, I love the story of Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1. It's the first couple of verses we generally don't read because it describes who his father was, his bloodline that he came from, the kings that were ruling when he was alive. But that actually also shows he came from back from Aaron's bloodline. They were a family of priests. So his grandfather, his father, and he was a priest. So he knew that as a work function. He knew the smell of the abattoir, of the incense, of the, you know, the fire burning, the anointing oil, the dress code. He knew all of those things, and he knew who their client base was. And then God comes and rattles his boat severely. And he says, Jeremiah, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I, God Almighty, knew you. Sure. And I have ordained you, I have called you, I have positioned you, I have written in the book of your life, you're not going to be a priest boy. You are going to be a prophet. So here, you can just see how all insecurity comes in. And he talks about that. And so we need to know, before we were formed in the mother's womb, what did he write in my book? And I'm only going to hear that when I fellowship with him. Amen. Because he's going to reveal that to me. Mm-hmm. He may affirm it through a prophetic voice or through scripture, spiritual fathers and mothers that we trust. But primarily, we need to hear it first, because for Jeremiah, he had to change everything. He had to let go of the dress code. He had to go out that restricted environment, because now he's called to nations. He's not going to just influence the people of the tribes that he knew. He's going to speak to foreign kings, you know. So, and God said to him, I need to do a makeover in you. I need to make your forehead hard as flint.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, just let me put my words in your mouth, and you just speak that. And I'm going to harden you so that it doesn't matter how they resist and what they say to you, you can manage it.
Sure.
And deep down, we want to have that same level of significance.
Exactly.
And that comes in the relationship. So I need to, in the relationship, discover what is my spiritual birthright. So I inherit things from my mom and dad, spiritual things on my bloodline, good things and negative things. And then there are natural things that I inherit. I inherit talents. It might be a music gift. If I think of Michael Jackson's family, you know, the whole family was musical, but he had an exceptional gift. And so there are many different things that we inherit. But not everything that we inherit is good. And that's where our consultancy comes in. Mm. Is we take that individual journey with a client to say, do you understand your spiritual blueprint? Do you understand your purpose? Tell us about that. What's the dream in your heart? What are the stumbling blocks that you are struggling with? Because the stumbling blocks is the very thing that prevents you from then stepping up or taking the next spiritual risk that the Lord is leading you to, or even, you know, in the natural walking out something or buying another business or developing a new product, because you don't feel ready or not good enough. So what happens with our spiritual birthright is it also contains specific calling, specific gifts. We need to know what they are. And we need to understand the boundaries of where is our influence and where does it end. So an example in the Bible is King Saul. So King Saul, he hadn't been king long, and he was going to battle, and Samuel told him, in 7 days, I will come and bring a sacrifice. So at the end of the 7 days, Samuel didn't arrive. The soldiers were leaving. King Saul gets all anxious. Now he's the leader, okay? So think of you being anxious, you know, things aren't going well in the business. So Saul decides he is going to step into Samuel's office, Samuel's spheres of influence, because he was concerned about people pleasing, people favor. But he lost his mandate because He stepped out of his boundaries. Sure. So you and I, we need to know, where is our sphere? So you may be called to the nations, like the Jesus said to the disciples. He says, Judah, Samaria, and then the ends of the earth. He said, for now, stay in Jerusalem until you've received power. So our boundaries can change, but we need to understand in the season
it
we are in.
It must be under his instruction.
Yes, yes. And then we would also ask, are there any gifts or callings that you have not walked in yet? And then we ask, do you perhaps know why you have not? Why are there blockages there? And it could be due to a negative birthright inheritance, generational strongholds. So when we are born again, we are forgiven for, you know, we make confession and we are washed and cleansed, and all of that is covered. But if our forefathers, or in terms of the business, previous owners have made covenants of darkness or covenants with death, they will still be in operation. So they need to be addressed and dealt with. Yes. Then also it could be negative confessions, words that your parents have spoken over you, or words that you are speaking over yourself or you are agreeing with. Those kind of things that are still having an effect need to be addressed.
Amen. Amen. And that is so vital, because everything that you've said now just makes so much sense. But at the end of the day, you know, and so your support is actually about coming alongside, identifying, recognizing, and understanding where you are right now in your business. But as you say, what I love about the fact is that the instruction needs to come from the Lord before we step out of things. So yes. Tris, thank you so much for that information. It's so vital and so important. But we're going to have another music break. Time just flies. It's just when good things happen. So we're going to just have a music break, and we will join you straight after this with Tris as we finalize the value and the importance of really coming into your spiritual life and merging your spiritual life with your business effectively. Mm-hmm. So we're going to join Tris straight after this. Thank you for being with us this afternoon. I'm Renette Myburg on 7 to 9 a.m. and my program is called Rise. And we have really got an amazing guest today with us. Her name is Tris Lichemot, and she's the founder and the developer of ArcNet Consultancy. And it's just so incredible to hear how we need to effectively combine and merge all our spiritual and personal and business blueprint in one. And this is our main aim today, is to understand that all three levels is so important to have in one thing, in one setting, so that we can be effective and successful for ourselves as well as for our businesses. So please share with us how that support looks, and just give us that last bit of information of how we can just hold on to this and start regrouping.
Super. So when talking to our clients and we inquire about their personal birthright, and we talk through that and we map it, and then we also do identification repentance around blockages. And it's not only on the personal birthright. We have the same discussion around the business birthright. So how did the business get started? Who were the previous owners? Who are the shareholders? Who is after the heart of God? Do they have the same vision as what you have? Are they kingdom oriented? And they may not be. So there may be things that need to be discussed, solutions pursued. But at the end, it all comes down to cleaning up the birthright.
Yes,
my personal
that
birthright.
Sounds good.
My spiritual birthright, and that then involves repentance. Because if there is a legal right, a demonic legal right for things to operate, I need to then. So we usually a team of three for accountability purpose, as part of the ArcNet consultancy team, an executive team with the client, We keep that 90 minutes, maybe not longer than 2 hours, because it is very private and confidential.
And intense.
And it's intense. And then we will see what needs to be repented of. So if it is a female role, something that a mother or a grandmother or has done, or an ex-wife or someone in the current situation, we would wait on the Lord and say, show us what we need to repent of, because we don't know how to pray. Romans 8:26 says, but when the Holy Spirit shows us, and then we do the repentance, and then the client has the opportunity to then release this person and bless this person. So it is a process that we go through to clean that birthright. And it's a necessary thing to do, because if you look at the story of David as king, they went through a 3-year famine. And David, you know, a man after God's own heart, he could repent, and he was quick to repent. And then he asked the Lord, why is this famine carrying on? And the Lord said to him, because the previous king broke a covenant with the Gibeonites. And so there are things, there was a spiritual foundation in the rulership within the sphere of influence that David was leading, and he needed to make that restitution. So in terms of pulling our whole personhood together, my relationship with God is very important, relationship being the primary key, because who will I let into my heart and tell my secrets to? And we ought to be able to be that vulnerable with God, and we want Him to share His secrets. What's written on our blueprint? What is His plan for us? We want to understand that for us, for our spouses, for our children, for our employees, for the entity. And He can only give us puzzle pieces, because otherwise our heads will get too big.
Yes, or be blown.
Yes.
It will yes. be just too much for us.
And,
to cope
and
with.
We won't have developed the character.
That's correct.
Or the connection, or the spiritual accountability structures that we need in order to walk it out. Yes, so my personal life, my career, my spiritual component, how I care for my employees, my colleagues, and ultimately, how am I transforming society? How is society, the people around me, being transformed positively? Amen. And ultimately, the aim is that we connect then within our network with other entities that have similar aims, because then we can pool our resources and we can do things together in a far more cost-effective way than before. So yes, as a consultancy, we dive in deep with the client's permission.
Of course.
Now, people that don't know us, that's a very difficult thing to do. How would you trust an entity you don't know? How would you dare expose those things? So we desire to build relationships.
Okay.
And we offer workshops, so we can do a workshop on what is spiritual stewardship, what is your personal purpose,
yes.
what is your entity's
awesome.
Purpose, so that people can start to see, and we use models and examples from Scripture to really then see, hey, all of this stuff that they're talking about and doing, it is done in Scripture. But
that
now,
is the great, that is the mapping.
Yeah.
That mapping
yes.
is so vital because that is where we can start trusting the Word.
Yes.
Before the executing.
Yes.
Effectively.
Yeah. And then also just adding some modern business language to it, because we look at Scripture
yes.
and they're not talking about operational models there, but they are there. If you look at the tabernacle and how that was constructed, a very specific operational model, very specific job descriptions, dress code, ethic policy, alcohol policies, environmental policies,
yes.
they're all there, but we use different language today, so we couldn't see it before.
That's correct. Yeah. And what I love is the moral compass. And the whole idea for me, what I love about this whole concept, is there's a code of conduct. And yes, not just that, you spoke about the employees, but there's a code of conduct in your own personal life,
yes,
for the next generation of your family as well, yes, that it impacts that as well. So you can effectively go forth and hand over if it needs to be, like you said with
That's
Jeremiah,
right,
and then Jeremiah got the revelation that this is not what he should be doing, but he, yes, wouldn't have known, mm-hmm, if he didn't have a close walk with the Lord.
That's right.
I love this. Absolutely love it. I wish I could have you for much longer on my program. But we are going to meet again next week with the next topic, which I think is so vital. Please come and join us. We are going to be having Tris on two parts, one part one and part two. And it's very important to tap into this amazing wisdom and knowledge. Thank you for joining us this afternoon, Tris. It was such a pleasure and such an honor. And I learned so much in this hour. So I just trust that you have done so as well. Tris will be in our next program as well. So please stay tuned with us afternoon. Same time, same place. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon, Tris.
It's been an absolute pleasure. I'm looking forward to part two next week.
Yes, yes. Please join us next week and stick to the rules. Be safe. And we see you same time, same place next week. Goodbye.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.